I had a friend who was fairly important within the Baptist denomination, and he went to speak in a conference in a small church, and there was a layman who was to introduce him, and he said, "Our speaker today needs no introduction. At least, I hope he don't, because I don't know nothing about him." So, you may not know much about me, so you can't give much of an introduction, but anyway, I hope to get acquainted with you. I think afterwards there'll be a lunch, and that might be a good time just to ask me questions about us, our background, our children, and our grandchildren. You know, I used to think that grandparents were obnoxious about their grandchildren. You know, they'd always carry pictures and want to tell you about their grandchildren. I think they're perfectly fine. I think it's okay to be proud of your grandchildren now that I'm a grandparent. We were quite late becoming grandparents because our kids were old when they got married and therefore old when they had kids. And I'm very old now that I'm a grandparent. But we do have three grandchildren, two of them up in Minneapolis and one down in Chicago. So we're right in between them. And we did resign our ministry there in Brussels, Belgium, where we had served for 9 years in an international church that was composed of 50 different nations in that church. Very international, great experience. But for health reasons, we found good care here for my wife and a good place to live between our kids. So we resigned the church and came here this past year, 2012, I should say. And I have been here since September of 2012. Love living in Madison. We live on the northeast side. It's convenient to everything, although we have to go around the airport to go anywhere. But we're near the airport. We love where we live, and we love being in the city of Madison. You can call me what you want to call me. Some of the big churches like to call me doctor, but I like for people to call me Roger or pastor if you want to be a little bit more formal about it. Just call me what you want to, but don't do like a lady that we had in our church. I served a church in Ohio down in near suburban Dayton for over 6 years, and this lady was a member of that church, and I went to visit her in the hospital. And this was toward the end of my six-year pastorate in that church. And she introduced me to her hospital roommate. And she said, "I want you to meet my pastor, Roy Rogers." Now, my name is tough to remember because it's Roger Roberts. And a lot of people will call me Robert or Pastor Rogers. So they get them flip-flop. That's okay. Just don't call me Roy Rogers. Okay. Now, as far as the text today, I think Tim has a lot of influence. So when Tim said, "We're making up for Christmas, we're going to have Advent music today, Christmas music," I said, "Okay, I'll get even with you. I'll do a Christmas text." So I'll do that to go along with you. So our Christmas text is from a great passage of Scripture that's known as the prologue, the introduction to John's Gospel, John chapter 1. And I'll begin reading with verse 14 and read through verse 18. And maybe in the future I can get the text to the good sound audiovisual people and they can project the text on the wall for you. But I hope you have your Bibles with you. In John 1, beginning with verse 14. The question today for you as I prepare to read the text is, did you miss Christmas? Now, December 25th is Christmas Day. Did you miss Christmas? And we'll know as we read this passage of Scripture whether or not you missed Christmas. That is the real meaning of the birth of Jesus Christ. So John 1, John is speaking about Jesus and referring to him as the Word, which had great significance to Jews and Gentiles, meaning he is the very essence and the meaning of God himself. He's also the creative power of God that brought the universe into existence. And he is the truth, the revelation of who God really is. And so in verse 14 of John 1, "The Word, Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Some people missed Christmas with their families because they were caught up in traffic problems. Some people spent Christmas in an airport. Some people missed what they thought of was Christmas because their packages didn't arrive because of problems with UPS. The question for you today is, did you miss Christmas? Now, you may have missed out on part of the Christmas celebration, but it would be far more tragic to miss out on the real meaning and the essence of the birth of Jesus Christ. The good news is, even though we're past Christmas Day of 2012, you can, or 2013, you can still, I'm slow. I preached as an interim pastor down in a community called Darien, an American Baptist church. I was supply preacher for them for a couple of months. And that congregation was so elderly, I felt like I was the youth minister. It's really good to see a young congregation. The church in Mayville, where I served for about 9 months as interim, where I just finished this past Sunday, is about in between. But you folks really look young. But I have an old brain and I'm behind time sometimes. So if I say 2012 and mean 2013, you'll know exactly what I'm thinking, at least. But anyway, did you miss Christmas? Did you miss the essence of Christmas? It's not too late to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Did you miss Christmas by, first of all, not seeing the glory of Christ? Not seeing his glory. Our text tells us that the Word became flesh and we beheld his glory. That is his beauty, his excellence, his majesty, and his glory was made known through the presence of Jesus Christ, who descended to this earth. That was a great gift for us. And your phone was probably a gift to you. And you haven't learned to shut it off during worship. But I understand that. It happens all the time. But Jesus Christ, his descent to the earth, was a great gift to us from God. An amazing gift. The miracle that we celebrate at Christmas is called the Incarnation, the enfleshment of God in a man, in a human being. Imagine that. The creator of the universe, a universe we're still discovering in its vastness. We cannot fathom the vastness of this wonderful creation. This God, the very Son of God, the image of God, the eternal Son of God, became a human being, a zygote, an embryo, a helpless baby born in humble circumstances. Can you imagine that? God becoming a man. The miracle of the Incarnation is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, born in the manger 2,000 years ago, was 100% God. As Paul says in Colossians, in the fullness of deity, Christ was born. We see in Christ the fullness of deity. He didn't lay any of his deity aside, even though he laid aside his heavenly glory to take upon himself human flesh. 100% God, but also 100% human. Imagine that. That can't be, but it was. And when you come to grips with the miracle of the Incarnation, the God-man living on this earth in history, when you take that into consideration and begin to comprehend that, then you realize that all other miracles are possible. Why not be able to turn water into wine? Why not be able even to raise the dead? Why not even be raised from the dead after your crucifixion for our sin? So all the miracles, all the claims of Jesus Christ are understood, are accepted under this vast miracle of the Incarnation, God becoming a human being. That is the glory of Christmas, that God became a human being. Somebody also said, the glory of Christmas is that God would become a human being. that he could and that he would. Those are both miraculous. That the eternal, sinless Son of God, who had enjoyed perfect fellowship with the Father from all eternity before the creation of time and space, that he would come into this messy world of sin and darkness, and that he would suffer at the hands of sinful, rebellious people. By all rights, he should have destroyed all of civilization, all of humankind, but he came to rescue humankind. That he would come into this world is a miracle. The miracle of the love of God, the totally undeserved love of God. So, if you haven't seen that, you missed Christmas. You missed Christmas if you didn't see the dwelling of Christ with us, that he came to dwell, to live among us. The text says that he came and he dwelt among us, made his tabernacle with us there in verse 14. Somebody could paraphrase that as he camped out among us. Now, if you're from Wisconsin, you probably love to camp. You go up into the Northwoods. You might even ice fish. I've seen people on these freezing cold mornings out ice fishing. And they have tents. I guess they go in there to get warm. And some of them may actually spend the night in those tents out on the ice. To me, roughing it means staying in a 2-star hotel instead of a 3-star hotel. That's how I like to rough it. But some people enjoy camping out. The picture here is more like somebody going to Afghanistan in a dangerous combat zone and camping out, tabernacling. Christ not only risked his life for us like a soldier in Afghanistan, he gave his life. He tabernacled in a dangerous place, knowing that it would end in his death. He came and he dwelt among us. An amazing concept here. Eternal God coming to dwell among us. And he has come to dwell among you and me. To make himself available to us. Make himself known to us. And how do we see the glory of God? Of course, we're given the written word of God that tells us unmistakably about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Gospels tell his story. But the Gospels also bring us to that wonderful climax. All the Gospels really head to the main point. And the main point of the Gospels is Christ died for us. I love the passage that we read in worship, Philippians chapter 2, how he emptied himself and he came and he died for us. He lowered himself to utmost humility, even death on the cross. That is the glorious picture of God. The most glorious picture of God is the cross. If you want to know who God is and what he is like and how he loves, you think about the cross. The eternal, sinless Son of God suffering for your sin and my sin. Suffering the hell that we deserve. Separation from the Father for the first time in eternity. That is the glory of God. That's who God is. That's what he looks like. There was a little girl in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher gave him some paper and crayons and said, draw what you would like to draw. Draw whatever's on your mind. And so the kids drew their pictures. And the teacher went over and she saw a little girl busily drawing and coloring. And she said, honey, what are you drawing? And she says, I'm drawing a picture of God. Well, the teacher said to the little girl, honey, nobody knows what God looks like. And she said, they will when I get through. We now know, now that Christ is through with his incarnation, with his death on the cross, we see God. We see what he is like in his perfect love, undeserved love. We see all that we need to know about God to have a personal relationship with him. And so, did you miss Christmas? You did if you haven't seen God on the cross. And by not receiving his grace into your life, this grace that gives life, out of his fullness, there in verse 16, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Grace came to me as a young boy. I was brought up in a preacher's home. And I was taught Bible stories since birth, actually. And I always had a desire to know God and to know Jesus Christ and to have the forgiveness of my sins. So God didn't save me after I had grown and gotten involved in a lot of trouble. And so I don't have a testimony that says I was living in absolute degradation and disgraceful living, and I was drunk or I was on drugs, and then God rescued me. And some people do have those wonderful testimonies. But you know, it took as much grace to save me as a 9-year-old boy as it took to save the worst sinner on Skid Row. You see, it's all of grace. God saved me from what my life could have been. God saved me from destruction that could have come. God saved me from suffering that invariably would have come had I not had His grace in my life. And so, as a young boy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God spoke a word of truth to my heart. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, light shone out of darkness, and the word of Christ came in, and God spoke life into my heart and into my life, and I was born again. I received grace for salvation, seeing the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, we receive this grace unto salvation. And that grace makes us aware of our need for salvation. Before you become a Christian, you realize, I need Jesus. I needed Him as a boy. Perhaps as an adult, you need to recognize your need for Jesus. You need to know your need, that there is in your life unforgiven sin. I like the story of one of my favorite writing preachers, Presbyterian pastor, the late pastor James M. Boyce. And he tells a story about a little girl named Marianne. And one day this little girl, Marianne, got into a fight with her brother. Some of you kids know what that's like, huh? She got into a fight with her brother. And the mother stopped the fighting by yanking Mary up sharply and sitting her down in a corner. You know, you go sit in a corner. You're not to fight with your brother. And she asked, Marianne, why did you let the devil put into your heart to pull your brother's hair and kick his shins? Marianne thought for a minute, and then she said, and this is good theology, then she said, well, maybe the devil did put it into my head to pull my brother's hair, but kicking his shins was my own idea. That's a good picture of humankind, isn't it? Yes, the devil does put it into our minds and hearts. We do live under the temptations of the evil one. But we also, as James says, realize that sin comes from our own hearts, that we're responsible for our own sin, for allowing the devil to put it into our head and to result in action. We do have responsibility, and we do have a sin nature that needs God's cleansing and His forgiveness and His transforming grace. You miss Christmas if you haven't understood this transforming grace of Jesus Christ, bringing about one blessing after another, grace after grace. Isn't it great to know that we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know the story of John Newton? I won't give all the details, but what a wretched life he lived there in the 18th century. He was a slave trader. He actually said, I will sin to the fullest. In defiance of God, he lived a most immoral life you could possibly live. He ended up in an African jail, actually, where he was tormented by the jailers there in jail. And when he was released, he got back on board ship as a slave trader. A very reprobate, disgraceful life. He was so drunk on board ship, he fell overboard. And they had to rescue him with a harpooner's spear that left a scar in his side, pulling him out of the water to rescue him. And so he was at the brink of death and destruction, total destruction. And what a glorious conversion he had during a storm on board that same ship. And after his conversion, he went into ministry, became a pastor and a great songwriter, one of the greatest leaders against the slavery movement. He influenced William Wilberforce in England that led about the abolition of slavery in England. And John Newton wrote among his other hymns, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You miss Christmas if you haven't come to see the grace of God in your life. How that He rescued you from lostness. Whatever your life circumstances, He has rescued us. He has brought us safely home. And He will bring us safely home. I'm glad that our worship music ended with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As we thought about this glorious, blessed hope that allows us to grieve, but not like other people grieve, because we know that there will be that union with Christ. Christ came to make Himself known, to make God known to us. And we know Him through faith, by faith. But listen, someday we will see Him face to face. Now we live by faith. Now we see all of God we need to see to have saving faith and have a personal relationship with Him. But someday we'll see Jesus face to face. And 1 John 3:2 we read, "And when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is." What glory that will be, to be like Jesus and to be with Him and God's people forever. You know, worship will be on the renewed, restored, totally renovated, refined heaven and earth, a tangible place. As much as you love worship leading, Tim, you know, heaven is not going to be one long worship rehearsal. You know, some people think of heaven as sitting around on clouds playing harps. Heaven will be fulfilling who you are as a person, finding ultimate meaning and fulfillment in your life, in your relationships, and living for God without sin and without all the impairments and impediments that sin brings into our life, and being able to find absolute fulfillment forever and ever in the kingdom of God, in this restored heaven and earth. What a hope that we have as a people of God. You have a relationship with Christ now. You have a relationship with Him for all eternity. And so, did you miss Christmas? Did you miss Christmas? You know, one of the sad things that I read on the internet was that there were many people who were found missing on Christmas Day. Do you know that at Christmas time, depression is at its worst? Suicide is at its worst? Of course, drunkenness is at its worst. Why? I think because people are thinking, you know, they hear all these wonderful songs about Christmas and about what a happy time it is, and they wonder, why don't I have this happiness? Why doesn't all this music and all these gifts and presents and parties, why don't these make me happy? Why? What am I missing? Well, they're missing God in their life. They're missing persons. And on this website, I saw people who have left home, teenage young women who have been missing since Christmas Day, just out of a sense of desperation. They're lost. They're missing persons on Christmas. Are you missing from the kingdom? Not only have you missed Christmas, but have you missed out on the life that God has for you to live? And so my prayer for you is, if there's anyone in this congregation who missed Christmas, who's missed out on life that God has for us in Jesus Christ, that you'll come to know Him and experience His new birth and new joy, and you'll see the glory of Christmas. Father, I pray that You would help us to come to that point in our life where we recognize that the glory, that Your glory, is fully seen in Jesus Christ. And by seeing Him, we have seen all that we need to know for life and godliness. We've received everything that we need, grace upon grace. We thank You that Your grace is sufficient for us in life's trials and troubles and difficulties, that we receive one blessing right after another. And I thank You, Father, that we can experience this grace even today, and that we can have assurance that grace will lead us home and when we see You face to face. And so this is our prayer. And God's people who agree, say together, Amen.